you know, quite honestly, I was planning on retiring, and we had a contract coming up, labor contract, and I was involved in the negotiations before that, and I was asked if I could stay on to handle the contract, you know, one more year. And, you know, then shortly thereafter, they told me that they'd be closing the plant, and it was just a punch in the gut. It really was. I was just shocked. I was shocked from a personal point, seeing, you know, we've got 1,200 people out here. They're going to lose their job, and I'm the one that's, I'm like the captain of the ship, you know. So it was tough, Charlie. In my 44 years of automotive, this definitely has been the worst year of my automotive experience.
How do you deal with it? What do you do to keep going and keep doing the things that you need to do to prepare the plant and to prepare the workers for what's going on?
From probably January until the announcement was made in July, there was a lot of travel involved for me. There was a lot of sleepless nights, and I'm not ashamed to say it. There were a lot of very emotional times for me. The last day when that car was built, it was tough. It was very tough. But, you know, you got to look ahead. And it was good to know that we spent a lot of time with a lot of consulting groups on coming up with the separation package. We wanted to make sure that it was one of the best that they've seen in the automotive industry, and we wanted to make sure that it was better than any major company that has left Central Illinois. And so we spent a lot of time constructing that.
How would you stack up this workforce compared to the other ones that you have interacted with?
Well, there's a reason I came here. I had 27 years when I first got a phone call and asked if I wanted to come here. And of course I said, I've got 27 years, why would I want to give that up to come to Mitsubishi? And then finally, after about the third or fourth call, I came for a visit. And I don't know what it was. Just from that six-hour visit in the plant, I decided to give up my 27 years with the other company and come here. I'll tell you, Charlie, I can't say enough about after that announcement was made on the 27th of July. Our attendance remained steady. The quality not only remained steady, it improved until that very last car came off the line. There were no disturbances. It was absolutely amazing, and I can't say enough about the workforce out there. And I guess I can get a plug in for anybody looking to hire Mitsubishi people. They've all got my endorsement, every single one of them.
Perhaps people on the outside don't realize how cutting edge that plant was at the start. And would you enlarge on that and talk about how it stayed current over the years?
Well, at the beginning, you're right. It was cutting edge. Even when I got there, we were having visits from other OEMs, other manufacturers that were just amazed when they walked through the plant and saw the use of robotics. And the robotics were not only used for efficiency and quality, but they were used for ergonomics. We didn't want somebody picking up a 40-pound battery on every car. So we had many robots that were used for ergonomics. But as production went on and sales fell off, there was a lot less put into keeping the plant updated as far as equipment. You have to figure that a robot is something like when you go to Best Buy or go somewhere and buy a television. You know, 2 months later, they got a different television with different features on it. It's the same thing in automotive. You know, the paint technology, very difficult to keep up with. Robotic technology, very difficult to keep up with. So in the last few years, we haven't really invested that much money into updating the robotic.
And yet, the quality product was still there.
Amazing. Yes, it was. I mean, it was a veteran workforce. They knew when something was wrong, they could identify it. We could stop it right at the source. The engineers, they knew how to keep the equipment running. Even if it had to go to eBay and look for some controllers on eBay. You know, the quality and foremost, the safety and the quality were top-notch to the very end.
And it's been said by the company and by management that, you know, this is not the workers' fault, that it's an external global sales issue. And yet it's maybe difficult for workers to internalize that. Did you see that? Did you talk to them? Did you feel that yourself?
I talked to them. You know, on that last day, it took me a couple of tries to get back out on the shop floor, kind of an emotional guy. But I can't tell you how many of them said, I don't understand why we kept going as long as we did. I thought the end was 2009. I thought the end was 2006. I think they understood. When we lost that Russian market, that was almost 40% of our production. Plus, the export vehicles were a little bit of a higher margin car for us as far as assembly. The volume is king. There's two other assembly plants here in Illinois. Just to give you an idea, there's a Ford plant in Chicago on 130th and Torrance, a little bit smaller than our plant, and they built 366,000 cars. Belvedere did 344,000 for a plant our size, 60,000 units just don't cut it in the automotive industry.
There are a few workers left, you're left, a few in the back office left. What are you guys doing as you wind down to the final plant closure at the end of the month?
Well, there's literally hundreds of thousands of documents that have to be purged. You know, we're required by federal law, by state law, to keep certain documents, health and safety, environmental documents, human resource. Many of the staff are busy doing that. A lot of the engineering staff is working on categorizing the robots. We're actually removing them from their positions and staging them down on the shop floor. So everybody's just getting busy for the final closing on the 31st.
What will you tell the remaining workers that day?
Well, I keep going through my mind that it'll be easier than November 30th, but I don't think it will be. There's 170 of us left. Well, we'll see what happens. You know, you think you've been through it once, it's not going to get any worse. But, you know, these people that are left, I've talked to many of them. They've got jobs lined up for those that want to move. It seems like these people might have had a little bit more time to prepare. I think they're ready for it to be finalized.
There are a lot of auto plants that have closed in the United States in the last quarter century. Most of them have been broken up. Some have been resold in pieces. Some of them have been torn down. Very few have been repurposed in the automotive industry as a unit. Is there really any chance for this plant?
Well, you know, I get a little upset when I hear people say that the task force didn't do enough to sell that plant. I happen to be in a unique position where I was the contact for anybody, any automotive industry, OEM that was interested in the plant had to go through me, and then I would notify Japan, and then we would make the arrangements. There was a lot of interest. For those that said they didn't do enough, I'm the one that flew to New York, Washington, Detroit, Chicago. I was in meetings with them, and there was a lot done. We had a lot of people come through. And I know probably the next question was, well, who? But unfortunately, my signature is on the NDA, the non-disclosure agreements. But I can tell you that we've had some of the oldest car companies in the world, not necessarily United States, that could be a hint. We've had manufacturers that haven't even built a car yet come through the plant. And we've had some of the bigger manufacturers out of Detroit. And then when we knew it was getting closer to the end, we started showing the plant to farm implement people as well as some of our suppliers. So we had a lot of visits and a lot of meetings with other manufacturers.
Can you give a round number of prospects that actually showed some serious intent?
I would say six automotive. Mm-hmm. That includes the individuals that haven't built a car yet.
Okay.
A couple farm implement and two suppliers, two major suppliers. And, you know, and again, I'm probably going to take another question away from you, but I'm going to
That's all right. I don't mind it when you do my job.
I'm going to disarm you. You know, I've also heard people say, well, they don't want to come here because of the state of Illinois, or they don't want to come here because it's a UAW plant. But Charlie, I'll tell you, the people that came to visit us, they knew we were UAW. They already knew what the state of Illinois work comp and taxes were. They already did their homework. It was the people that didn't visit us that probably didn't want to be in the state of Illinois or didn't want to be represented by the UAW. But there was not a single person that came back to us and said, well, we decided not to because of the state of Illinois, or we decided not to because of the UAW. The main reason the people that I heard back from were not interested was because of the size of the place. They call it blue skies. There's too much blue skies. It was just way too big for what they had in mind.
It sounds like you're a little uncomfortable with statements by Senator Bill Brady and Senator Jason Berrickman that the economics of the plant are based in part upon the state business climate.
I'm just saying that I was the one that was across the table face-to-face with them. I never got a response back from any of them saying that, geez, if this plant was in West Virginia, we'd buy it. I never heard that.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Jerry Berwanger, the longtime manager of the Mitsubishi plant as it prepares to close its doors for the final time. Mitsubishi, of course, wants to close the chapter, and they've sold it to an industrial salvage firm. Is the expertise that that firm has likely to find a buyer where others were not able to come to fruition?
If you've ever been on their website, I was surprised. They're worldwide. I mean, they've got facilities that they've taken over in Europe and Canada and the United States. I believe their plan is to first auction the equipment that's in the plant and then find somebody to purchase the building. They've got expertise in it. I know up until 2 weeks ago, we were still bringing people in for tours of the plant. Now we just refer them to Maynard's because MMC's out of the picture. But we still have people coming through on tours that are interested.
What else should I ask you? What else do you want to say?
You know, in this discussion, I think you can tell my emotions still get the best of me. But, you know, the people that have left, I don't like using that word terminated. It's not the reason they left. Those that are willing to move are finding employment, and they're finding employment at the same base rate, the same benefits that they had here. Unfortunately, they're moving Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina. If they are in that position, they can move. The people that grew up here, that have children here, that want to stay here, I think they're having a little bit more difficult time coping with trying to find something to match what they had.
Mitsubishi has been part of this community for more than 35 years, and it's continuing to try to maintain a presence through the foundation. What will this community lose with the departure of the company, though?
There will be an economic loss, of course, from the workforce.
But Mitsubishi workers have also served in community organizations, yeah, and volunteer organizations. They've served in charities. They've been on boards and commissions and become a part of the civic life. That's a loss, too.
It is. I don't know how you're going to recoup that type of loss. You know, down to the very end, we found items in the plant going through hundreds of little storage areas that probably haven't been opened since 2000. And we decided, and there were some pictures hanging on the walls that we had that weren't part of the assets that would be turned over to Maynard's. And we decided to have an auction for all the people that were left in the plant. And we took all that money from that auction and gave it to the United Way. You know, I think it come up to a little bit over $8,000, mm-hmm, in a 3-day auction. So, you know, we're still giving to the final end. But as you said, that's going to be a loss. It's going to be hard to compensate unless Maynard's is successful in getting somebody in that building.
What were some of the items that might evoke a story that went into that auction?
Well, you know, it's odd. It's hard to answer because you walk by that every day. You walk by that glass case with a little vase in it that somebody gave us, or a painting that was on the wall, and it really doesn't hit you until you come in and see the bare walls. We had some memorabilia from DSM, Diamond Star Motors. We actually had some of the first VCR cameras. They brought a whole $5, but we had old VCR, 3/4-inch VCR tape decks. And I don't think the people that purchased that really purchased it for a value. I think they purchased it for a memory, you know. We had one clay model from the design center. I forgot what scale it was huge. We even auctioned that off. And
What vehicle was it?
It was an old, I believe it was an F Eclipse, first design of it.
Those were sporty, and they were fast.
Yep. Yeah.
Think back on your history with the plant and share with us a story or two about the workers that made a difference for you, would you?
I think if you go back, number one, to the quality part of it, I don't want to say there was a lot, but there were a few times when an associate, I remember explicitly one was a material handling that was feeding the line material, and he noticed something different about a part. We looked at it, and we were able to find what we call a break point and keep those cars from getting transported, and it would have turned into a major recall on our part. And it was just the observance. I mean, he very well could have just loaded the parts, but he knew that was bad. And it happened, you know, back in stamping, back in body shops, somebody noticed the difference, that this feels a lot lighter than the other ones I've been putting in, intrusion bars in the door, you know. And he came forward and said, hey, this just doesn't seem right. Nobody ever cries wolf. Usually when they cry, there's a wolf. And we look at it, and they're just, you know, stories like that. People going above and beyond to do their job. I've been fortunate to work in assembly plants in Europe, in the United States. I can honestly say that it's probably the best workforce that I've been associated with.
Jerry Berwanger is the manager of the Mitsubishi plant in Normal. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.